Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 22. Knoxville is just up ahead, said Kyle. Hey, can we go to the Grand Old Opry sometime? Country music? When did you become a fan of country music? Asked Dick. Well, never. I mean, I'm a rocker, to be sure. But I just want to go one time, just to see what it's like. You know, said Kyle. Whatever, said Dick. That's cool. Okay, Oak Ridge is up here. I'm supposed to have a furnished apartment, too. Pretty cool, huh? Asked Kyle. Oh, yeah. You're about to hand them a gazillion-dollar technology for clean and safe energy production, and they spring for a furnished apartment. That sounds fair to me, said Dick. Everything isn't about how much money you make, you know, said Kyle sheepishly. Yes, it is all about that. They aren't going to think that way. They just hope you think that way, said Dick. And after the planet has its baby, what then? Asked Kyle. Oh, forget I said anything. I was back in the old world of dogs eating dogs. Let's just make their day and go home, said Dick. It's just that after all the old paradigm goes away, we gotta have a way to stick it to the man and still be able to power our stuff. We still need electricity. I just want the world to have a way to do that without pollution and the danger of radioactive waste. Makes sense, doesn't it? Asked Kyle. Yeah, for sure, said Dick quietly. Where shall we park this ape? Somewhere conspicuous, said Kyle. I know, it's such a chick magnet, said Dick. Oh yeah, you're the chick magnet. The car never gets me the girl, said Kyle, punching Dick on the shoulder. They parked the car in front of the apartment complex by the pool and searched for the office, which turned out to be the model apartment. It was very well designed, with nice cabinets and a walk-in marble shower. How can I help you, gentlemen? Asked the saleswoman. My name is Kyle Kramer. I am moving in here with the Oak Ridge National Lab, said Kyle. Yes, here it is. I have your keys right here. You're in Unit 7A, she said. You hear that? I'm in Unit 7A, said Kyle to Dick, smiling. Here is a map of the complex. You are here, she said, pointing to the location of the model apartment. Drive around to the other side of the pool, and you are on the ground floor here. You'll be able to see the pool from your living room, basically. That is way cool. Thanks so much, said Kyle. And there is an event schedule in your package there. The features of the lodge, barbecue night, and there's a pool party just about every Friday this summer, she added as Dick and Kyle were walking for the front door. Let's go check out the hacienda, said Dick. They started the car and drove around to the spot in front of their door and shut off the engine. I think we did it in record time, said Kyle. I could have done it faster, for sure, said Dick. Oh, for sure, but we didn't have to run from anyone. Riker would be proud of us, said Kyle. We still jammed everyone in sight. That was cool enough, like being invisible. Hey, let's get this stuff out of the trunk and the back seat while we're here. They both grabbed a few items and walked to the front door. Kyle opened the door and walked into the foyer of the apartment. He paused for a moment and looked around. Holy shit, dude. If this doesn't get me laid, there is a serious problem with Tennessee, said Kyle. Oh, like it has nothing to do with the fact that you carry a lap. Oh, like it has nothing to do with the fact you carry a laptop with you wherever you go, said Dick sarcastically. I gotta say, though, this is one very fine domicile. The wine rack over the counter here is empty. What's up with that? Asked Dick. It has a wine rack? What's up with that? Sweet. Let's fill it up tonight, said Kyle. I think this earns a self-high-five, said Dick. The two boys stomped their feet together and slapped their hands over together. I'm taking this bedroom, said Kyle, walking into the master bedroom with the walk-in shower. Fine with me. I might not sleep here every night, you know, he said with a smirk on his face. Huh, I might not want you to, said Kyle with a smile as he flopped onto the fluffy mattress and kicked off his shoes. What do you say we catch some Z's and then find somewhere to eat, asked Dick. Cool enough, said Kyle. They finished unpacking and stretched out on their beds for a nap. The apartment complex was fairly full, and there were people around the pool area, but the apartment was cool and quiet, so the boys slept until dark. Dick still marveled how he could fall into a deep sleep without dreaming of the race where he lost his eye. It was as though that chapter in his life had been read enough times, or breaking out of Groundhog Day without having to fall in love with the girl. He laid there for a few minutes getting his thoughts together and wondered what the Oak Ridge Labs would look like. He worried a little about Kyle and the idea that somehow he was growing up and would perhaps be able to live on his own one day. Kyle was a vital part of his street racing life, but now that he was a video game mogul and all-around straight shooter when it came to driving fast on public roads, it might soon be time to try to move on with his life and maybe think about having a family. Not that Kyle wasn't just about the ideal adopted little brother. He always felt that he and Yuki might be able to settle down someday and try to take their professional relationship into the personal arena. He heard a soft knock on his doorframe. You hungry, dude? Positively Pavlovian, said Dick, standing up and off the bed like a gymnast. I was surfing the local scene, and I found some place called Bob Evans Homemade Country Sausage. How amazing is it that a guy that makes sausage has his own restaurant chain, said Kyle. Wow, IHOP really does have competition. How about dinner, asked Dick. That part was a challenge. I never knew people in Tennessee liked to eat so much. I found a place called Tony Roma's Ribs. It's either that or Chuck E. Cheese, said Kyle. Ha, said Dick. I was just thinking I was hungry for something I can eat without silverware. Let me scrub the road grime off my teeth and I'll be right with you. Oak Ridge was a different kind of busy than L.A. There were more minivans and more trucks lifted off of obscenely tall tires. There were certainly more kids. They could tell this was a prosperous town with time for other things like soccer and movies and church. The surroundings were much greener than anything they had ever seen before. And when they exited the vehicle into the warm and humid spring air, they could hear things making the noises of nature like never before. There was a wave of cicadas that rose and fell in volume, and they couldn't quite tell where it was coming from. The land was alive. If something was green in California, somebody paid to water it. The portion of ribs was too much, but they each ate it all anyway, along with the macaroni and cheese and a few of the bottomless yeast rolls. Oh, man, I can't think of eating another thing, said Dick. Yeah, the thought of Mr. Evans and his sausage restaurant doesn't sound so good right now, said Kyle. So, where's the first place we go in the morning, anyway? We are meeting a Dr. Enzor. He's from the graduate school. He used to be on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. He was the U.S. team member of the first to go into Chernobyl when it blew its top, said Kyle. Oh, yeah. I remember the three-eyed fish, said Dick. Yeah, well, Fukushima makes that look like a dropped ice cream cone on a summer day in comparison, said Kyle. Well, let's head for the apartment and sleep off these ribs, said Dick. They started the Purple Challenger and turned out onto the main road. Traffic was moderate, and there were a few interesting cars here and there. It was a little like California, except gas was so much cheaper that a person with good mechanical ability could actually build and drive a 600-horsepower car as a daily driver without breaking the bank. Where are you going? Asked Kyle. ABC store, dude. We might as well buy some wine when we don't feel like drinking it. You never know when we might have some female-type visitors, you know, said Dick. And women don't like scotch? Asked Kyle. real women like Scotch, but what about just friendly females in less than adequate attire? Said Dick as he pulled into the liquor store parking lot. Oh, and look what clever thinking, a cigar store right next door. Within a few minutes of hitting on the debit card, they headed back for the apartment to fill a portion of the wine cabinet and put a small humidor on the counter under it. I think we should light up, pop the cork, and do some pontificating on the back patio, said Dick. I have the cutter right here, said Kyle, snapping the cigar trimmer in his hand like a castanet. It feels like a Cabernet night to me, said Dick. By midnight, they had invested an entire bottle and a cigar in a grand discussion about the Tennessee stars overhead, the movement of planets, and the value of nuclear power. The Eastern Daylight morning came too early for their heads, but they arrived at the Oak Ridge National Lab in good working order, in time for the first round of safety briefings, prior to taking a tour of the testing labs. Good morning, gentlemen, said the instructing scientist in the neutron activation spectroscopy lab. My name is Dr. Paris, and I will be taking you through the neutron activation process and how we determine unknowns. Taking notes, gentlemen? Nah, we never take notes, said Kyle. Too slow. Yeah, too slow, repeated Dick, rolling his eyes. I'm with him. Well, I have a sample vial here with an unknown metal in solution of an unknown concentration. Placing this vial into the chamber here, I can use this vacuum tube to transport it to the next room where we have a californium source. We just came from California, said Dick. Unamused, the instructor continued. The chamber will rotate open under the water in the shielded tank in that lead-lined room for about 5 minutes. High-energy neutrons are bombarding the metal molecules in the solution in that little vial. Some of them are sticking to the nucleus. The energy with which that neutron sticks is unique to that nucleus, depending on the number of protons in that nucleus. And that, gentlemen, is exactly what we want to know. What do we want to know? Asked Dick. The number of protons, dude, said Kyle. Once we know that, we just look it up on the chart, and bingo, we now know the unknown. Very good, Mr. Kramer. You can call me Kyle, he said. Now, Kyle, we rotate that chamber again and bring the sample back over through a different vacuum tube to this chamber here, Paris said, pointing to a large cylinder on the floor in a huge concrete cradle. And we wait for those neutrons to come off that nucleus in this atomically quiet chamber. We call that nuclear decay. That's very cool. But what does atomically quiet mean? Asked Kyle. Well, the unique thing about this chamber is that it is actually a cut section of a 19-inch gun barrel made before the first atomic blast at Trinity. After that blast, all the metal made in the world was atomically active, said Paris. What? All the metal in the world? Asked Dick. To this very day, and we have blown up more than 2,600 devices since then, said Paris. Yeah, but only two of them were used against people, and we did that, said Kyle. We're here to work with fuel, not bombs, said Dick. I'm just teaching you about the ways we use to analyze unknowns using neutrons, said Paris, handing them a syllabus on the process he had just demonstrated. Yeah. Thanks so much. That was interesting, said Kyle. The rest of the day was filled with a variety of amazing discoveries and innovative ways to use nuclear energy in peaceful ways, including radiation therapy for cancer treatment. Oak Ridge was a massive complex capable of teaching students from universities from around the world. They saw foreign students from Iran, China, India, and a host of European countries as well. The final lecture of the day was a representative from Nuclear Fuel Services, The presenter was a young, attractive female with a good enough PowerPoint presentation to keep Kyle and Dick awake. The uranium enrichment process to make high-enrichment uranium for weapons is time-consuming and expensive. Since the weapons have thankfully never been used, rather than bury this investment, the project has converted 33 metric tons of the material into 1.2 million pounds of useful low-enrichment uranium to produce electrical power. The Tennessee Valley Authority saved millions of dollars each year by utilizing down-blended uranium instead of making new fuel. The project helped TVA to maintain some of the lowest electrical power rates in the nation for its ratepayers. The main down-blending facility is located in Irwin, Tennessee, and has a fairly good safety record, spilling only 35 liters of highly enriched uranium. The two boys left the lecture and headed for the car. Walking beside them were two co-eds of an interesting nature. Dick quickly engaged them in conversation. "Hey, what's up?" asked Dick to the two girls. "Oh, just took in that presentation." "Did you guys buy all that?" the dark-haired girl asked. "Well, what were they selling?" asked Kyle. "I'm Donna, and this is Katie," she said. "That was just a bunch of government propaganda bullshit for kids trying to get a job," said Donna. She repositioned her book bag over both shoulders, preparing for a longer walk. Her jeans fit loosely over her thin frame and exposed a temptingly narrow area of her skin below a blue blouse, just too short to reach her unbelted jeans. "Nice to meet you," said Dick. "Where are you two from?" "We're not students, if that's what you mean. I mean, we were, but we graduated a while back, and now we do research," said Katie. She wasn't the first to talk, but she was clearly the dominant one in the pair. She hung back at first, making observations and learning from a situation before making her move. Dick had seen these types before, acting all innocent and baiting you into a race, and then kicking your ass with some wickedly quiet cubic inches and taking your money. "Yeah, we're not students either. Research," said Dick, pointing back and forth between him and Kyle. "I don't know. I liked the whole day and the presentation, especially the part about downblending. That sounded righteous enough," said Kyle. "You know that power plants only have an 18 to 36 month supply of fuel, right?" asked Katie.
Sure. Why?" asked Dick.
"That means that they are against the clock every day to make fuel for these power plants. They sell electricity and make insane profits off the users of that electricity," said Donna.
"So? What's wrong with profits?" said Dick.
"Yeah, I like electrons. It sounds like clean enough business to me," said Kyle.
"Yeah? Well, it's not," said Katie, now bringing her voice to bear on the subject as she moved in closer to the two boys.
"Oh? Do tell me more," said Dick, sizing her up in a bathing suit with his one eye.
"What they didn't tell you is that the weapons-grade plutonium comes in from all over the place, the U.S., Japan, Russia, and they don't have a perfect record of accounting for all of it," said Katie, using her index finger in the palm of her opposite hand.
"They lost some of it?
No way," said Kyle incredulously.
"Yes way, not a small amount either. Enough to stash away off the books for people off the record," said Katie.
"Anybody ever go looking for it?" asked Kyle.
"That takes special equipment," said Donna.
"Like a set of good sodium iodide crystals and some fancy software?" asked Dick as he turned and fist-bumped Kyle.
"Yeah, like that."
"You wouldn't happen to know anyone who would have such things and know how to use it, would you?" asked Katie, smiling now in an obvious attempt to use her attractiveness to their advantage.
"We might know someone, if the people who wanted to know wanted to have dinner and some wine later by the pool," said Dick.
"As a matter of fact, we have dinner plans," said Donna.
"As a matter of fact, we don't have firm dinner plans," said Katie, looking at Donna.
"Where would you like to meet?
Do you like fish? Asked Dick. Oh, God, no. All ocean fish is contaminated. Meet us at Homeland Restaurant off the turnpike, 7 o'clock. Great Eastern European recipes, said Katie. Besides, Donna's a veg head, and they have a good vegan menu. We'll be there. Just look for the Purple Challenger, said Dick. Our place is less than 2 miles from there, he reminded them, so they could consider the wine invitation for later. And bring your bathing suits, he added as they walked toward the parking lot. You think they like us? Asked Kyle. I think they like you, said Dick as they neared the car. Which one? Asked Kyle, not wanting to choose the wrong girl. The smart one, said Dick as he hit the power door locks and swung the driver's door open. You're not helping, said Kyle as he sat down and closed the door. Look, little brother, we're just trying to make some local friends, right? There's no pressure here. We eat, we drink, we have a cigar, maybe. That would be cool, huh? These chicks might like cigars. And then we see what they think, said Dick. Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that can happen, asked Kyle. Huh, that's what I'm hoping for. As bad as it can get. Anything up from that is spectacular, said Dick, holding his hand out for a low-driving... That's what I'm hoping for. As bad as it can get. Anything up from that is spectacular, said Dick, holding his hand out for a driving low five. Kyle slapped his palm with his. Let's go change into something less dorky, he said. Wait, you have something like that in your closet? Asked Dick jokingly. Oh, come on. Not everything I own is plaid with a pocket protector, said Kyle. Just... leave the laptop home tonight, said Dick. How about wearing my contacts? Dude, be yourself or stay home, said Dick. Besides, we might swim later, and you don't want to lose one in the pool. I'm overthinking it again, aren't I? Asked Kyle. That's okay. I think they are, too. Just relax and have a good time. I didn't expect to meet anyone on the first day. Plenty of fish in the sea, my brother, said Dick. They pulled into the parking area of Kyle's apartment and turned off the motor. It didn't take long for the two to shower and change for the evening out with the two girls they had met at the Oak Ridge training area. By 6:30, they were ready to head over to the Homeland restaurant. Hey, there's a touchless car wash. I'm pulling in to put a little shine on the grape ape, said Dick. Within 15 minutes, the car sparkled in the Oak Ridge streetlights, and they were just about on time when they pulled into the parking area. Hey, there they are, said Kyle, pointing to the girls standing by the front door of the restaurant. Well, let's go find out what's up, said Dick as he pulled in and shut off the motor. Hey, guys, said Katie. That is one sweet-looking car. When you said a Challenger, I sort of knew what you meant, but that one looks a little different than others I have seen. I guarantee it runs like nothing you've ever seen, said Kyle. Huh? Oh, you mean it's fast, said Donna like she was fake playing dumb. Don't guess that matters much in Tennessee, said Dick. Haven't you heard? It's fast women and beautiful cars out here in the South, said Katie. Whoa, slow down, woman. We just came because the food was highly recommended, said Dick with a sly smile on his face. Katie play-punched him in the arm. Whatever. Let's grab a booth, said Kyle. It smells great. The four walked in and sat down with the two girls on one side and ordered their drinks while they looked at the menu. Within a few minutes, they had all ordered and began to talk about the events at Oak Ridge again. So, what are you guys doing at Oak Ridge all the way from sunny California, said Donna in a most naturally disarming way. Well, actually, began Kyle. Actually, interrupted Dick, we are sightseeing and thought it would be cool to learn a little about nuclear power. We have a lot of in California, and they don't say much about it there. So we stopped off here, said Dick. Kyle followed suit without hesitation. They had played off each other before, and Dick was much better at lying than Kyle. Yeah, you know, neutrons and stuff. Fascinating stuff, said Kyle. Oh, that's cute, said Katie. What? Asked Dick, tilting his head to the side innocently. For one thing, Kyle has engineer on his breath, and you reek of methanol and 90-weight gear oil. You're such a gearhead, said Katie. Oh, busted, said Kyle. I suppose you're going to keep your story and try to deny your undercover journalists trying to write a Pulitzer Prize-winning story about corruption in the nuclear industry, said Dick. There was silence at the table for at least 10 seconds. Donna took a long drink from her unsweetened iced tea. Kyle, at first, had the look on his face like that was the craziest thing he had ever heard Dick say. The longer the girls fidgeted with their napkins and drinking straws, the more Kyle's look turned into one that said, "So what do you say now that we know the truth?" "Okay, we haven't been straight with you either. Sorry about that. You're right, sort of. We're not journalists. We are bloggers about nuclear corruption. And lately, there have been some absolutely insane things going on around here. Something has gone very wrong," said Katie. "Bloggers, huh? We have a little experience with under-the-radar online business as well," said Dick. "Doing what, may I ask?" asked Donna, now leaning in for the gossip. "Ever hear of Dick Daring, the famous race car driver?" said Kyle. Maybe. Didn't he die or something?" asked Donna. "Not exactly," said Dick. "Crashed a few years back, built the world's richest online street racing cartel, and stayed ahead of the man the whole time," said Kyle. "Oh, wait, not Daring's extreme street racing experience. The virtual reality game? My ex-boyfriend was insane about that game. That's you?" said Donna. "That's us," said Kyle. "So what the hell are you doing in Oak Ridge? Trying to make up a game out of nuclear power?" asked Katie with a little edge to her voice. "My brother here is a hyper-genius ADD super freaking engineer, and they asked him here to teach them about how to focus clean energy to make it safer and more efficient," said Dick with the same edge. Okay, let's take it down a notch," said Donna. "A few days ago, there was a big alert in Irwin." "What's Irwin?" asked Kyle. "It's not a what, it's a where. 75% of the plutonium taken out of nuclear weapons is shipped there by special carrier to be deblended into nuclear fuel-grade uranium. We think that some of the plutonium was stolen," said Katie. "Actually, we think it was fake stolen," said Donna. "What do you mean?" "Either it was stolen or it wasn't," said Dick. "What I mean is that someone said it was stolen so the military would go all apeshit, and in reality it was secretly shipped somewhere else by insiders," said Katie. "Well, can't they see that stuff from space? I mean, how hard can it be to find a few pounds of weapon-grade..." plutonium? Asked Dick. "Oh, no, it's very hard. You see, plutonium is an alpha emitter, very small particles, but easy to shield and hard to detect. You need a special detector to even sense them, even if it's close," said Kyle, leaning in quietly. "Told you," said Dick. "I'll bet those detectors aren't just laying around at Radio Shack or eBay," said Donna. "Well, I'm not saying they are, for sure, but the right detectors might be back at our apartment," said Kyle. "Look, even if we had the right detectors, and even if we were interested in running around with you in the dark of night, who even knows where the shipment might be?" asked Dick. "We think they're going to try to get it out of the country," said Katie. "What? That makes no sense, woman. People who would steal stuff like this are trying to get it into the country, I think," said Dick. "She might be right. If this stuff came in from who knows where, could be Russia, it makes sense to send it back out to do something bad. Once it goes off, they're going to know the reactor it came from. Heck, I could tell that now if I could get close enough to it," said Kyle. "What do you say we order a pizza and go to your place?" said Katie. Wine and cigars, said Kyle. Cigars? Shit, no way. Okay, let's go, said Katie. Check, please, said Dick. They left the restaurant and took both cars to the apartment complex. Within minutes, they had parked and were sitting around the granite high counter above their range top on four stools pouring wine. Very nice place, said Donna. Yeah, who's your decorator? Asked Katie as they all laughed. We didn't pick out that picture of the sailboat on the wall over the couch, if that's what you mean, said Dick. I mean, your furniture matches. Impressive, said Katie. It came sort of furnished, said Kyle, setting his wine glass down and looking at Dick to see if it was uncool divulging that fact. Dick looked back at Kyle with his eye expressing that perhaps they should change the subject. I think you might be interested to see what I have in my bedroom, said Kyle, sliding off a stool. Really? The pizza hasn't even arrived yet, said Katie. He means his equipment. His instruments, said Dick, stepping on every word. Sodium iodide crystal detectors. Want to see? Asked Kyle. Oh, hell yeah, said Katie. The four walked down the short hall to Kyle's room where the two crystal detectors were sitting on the bed. He picked up the larger of the two, which was encased in a lead cone and weighed about 35 pounds. It had bracket attachments on the side, allowing it to be installed into a box or a case of some kind. This one has a 4-inch diameter crystal, and it's about 1/2 inch thick. It can pick up scintillations at very low counts and provides a signal through this power supply and input-output board that will tell us exactly what species the nuclide is. This catalog lists all the signatures for all the known reactors in the world that would make weapons-grade plutonium, said Kyle, like he was reciting an information pamphlet. Jesus, you weren't kidding, said Kyle. Yeah, nice equipment, said Donna, smiling at Kyle. And this one is a more portable version with a 1.5-inch crystal, but you have to get closer, and you need more counts per minute to get an accurate reading, and the precision is not as good as the big one. Only one decimal place, said Kyle with a trailing voice, realizing he was overselling the situation. So tell me, Nancy Drew, what are we doing after we eat this pizza? Asked Dick, slightly feeling the effects of the wine on an empty stomach. How about we stay the night here, go for a swim in the morning, eat some breakfast, and drive to Irwin and pick up the trail with your detector? Asked Donna with her friend. Asked Donna with her hands out like she was asking for permission. My thoughts exactly. Hey, I think that's the pizza guy. Be right back, said Dick. It wasn't like him to be nervous around women, but it usually was he who was pressing the accelerator. His head was spinning a little from the wine and a little from the bucket load of testosterone that just got dumped into his bloodstream. He opened the front door. Hey, how's it going? Here's 25. Keep the change, said Dick as he carried the two pizzas over to the high counter. The three of them came out from Kyle's room and they opened the two boxes. Wow, that smells good, said Kyle. I was getting Pavlovian. Pavlov? Pavlov's dogs. That's so clever, said Donna, looking at him. Yeah, I get that finally, said Katie. Oh, you're not that blonde, said Donna, taking a bite out of the vegetarian pizza. It's real, said Katie. Time will tell, said Dick, chewing now with his mouth closed. Katie blushed and looked away from Dick's face for a moment. He looked at her and lifted his wine glass to propose they touch glasses. She picked hers up and carefully they tapped the glasses together and took a sip. Time will tell, said Katie quietly. Oh, wow, I was hungry, but two is all I can do, said Donna. Hey, we have some premium cigars. Let's go outside and burn one, said Kyle. How did you know I love cigars? Asked Donna, gently slapping Kyle on the shoulder. You're weird, said Katie, taking another sip of wine and asking for Dick to pour some more into her glass. There's just a little left in this one. I'll open another one, said Dick, getting up to swing around the counter to their wine rack. He picked the same label, peeled the foil off the top, and used the corkscrew to remove the cork. Within a minute, he had Katie's glass 3/4 full. Why? I can enjoy a cigar without smoking a cigar. Besides, it turns me on, said Donna, holding her left hand over her mouth as though the words had escaped without permission. Kyle spun the wooden humidor around on the granite countertop with the lid toward Donna. You select, and I will trim, he said. Donna picked a blonde acid cigar and handed it to Kyle. I like this brand. It has a sort of liquor flavor. Very nice, said Kyle, as he slid the wrapper off and used the cutter to trim the sealed end off the cigar. He picked a darker version of the same brand and trimmed it as well. He grabbed the bottle and poured both glasses halfway full. He held the cigar and glass in his left hand and picked up the box of wooden matches next to the humidor. We're going out onto the patio to burn one, he said, shaking the box. Okay, be there in a sec, said Dick, sitting on the stool and looking at Katie. Katie is here by invitation. Kyle is here by invitation. He really is a genius in magnetism, and they invited him here to show them how to focus a tritium beam, he told Katie seriously. She returned his serious gaze and scooted close to speak very quietly and put her hand on his leg. We just feel there is very little time before something terrible happens. We can't explain it. We're just going with the flow here, said Katie. He's a virgin, Katie. Actually, I think Donna is too. They will be fine, she said, smiling at him softly. Dick smiled and leaned forward and kissed Katie on the lips. She kissed him back, and he pulled her upper lip in between his and then backed away slowly. Cigar? Don't mind if I do, said Katie, opening the humidor and picking a blonde Rocky Patel. Bold. Mind if I trim? Said Dick. I'm already trimmed, she said, snapping the cutter to remove the end of the tapered cigar and smiling at him without moving her gaze. She picked up her glass and walked slowly through the living room to the patio outside. Just as she neared the sliding screen door, she looked back at him over her shoulder as her blonde hair spilled away from her face. Dick smiled as though he was looking over his car door at the racer next to him. Let's see what you got, he thought to himself. He picked a cigar, cut the end off, and slid off the stool without moving his eye from her glance. She looked away first.